Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 89, with Sarah Kornack and Beth Ann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Jill Donovan, the founder of Rustic Cuff. You are going to love Jill's story, so let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are so excited to welcome Jill Donovan. She's the founder of Rustic Cuff. With her days filled with young children and her evenings spent teaching law, Jill needed a creative outlet, and she began teaching herself every aspect of leather making and metal design in her guest bedroom in the middle of the night. Her lifelong obsession with cuffs turned into much more when she founded Rustic Cuff in 2011. Jill is mom to two daughters, Ireland and August. They're her inspiration and great helpers to her in her business. She's married to husband Terry. Jill's also a mentor on Thrive15.com, where she teaches business owners how to grow their business through marketing and branding. And speaking of marketing and branding, Jill has tons of experience in this realm because her business, Rustic Cuff, has been featured on many national magazines as well as national TV. And her jewelry can be found in over 250 stores. So we are so excited to learn from you today, Jill. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Jill, could you begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and how you got started in business?
Okay. I grew up in Pensacola, Florida, and came to Tulsa, Oklahoma to go to undergrad. I met and married my husband after that and decided that 7 years after I graduated that I wanted to change careers altogether and become an attorney because that's an easy job. And so I wanted to get the degree, but I didn't really want to practice because I really just wanted to be a mom because that was an easier job. And so I graduated from law school and started doing some family law. And then I had two little ones and stopped practicing law, started teaching. 8 years into it, I took a sabbatical, and then Rustic Cuff was born, which I can tell you the story, how it was born after all of that. So I can't tell the story without telling a little backstory of how it started. It starts with a little story about Oprah, and she, I don't know if you know Oprah Winfrey, but she used to have a talk show a long time ago, and you could Google her if you want to find out who she is. But my goal while I was practicing law, I started a new hobby every year. And 1 year I would pick up tap dancing. I would do it for a full year. I'd have done this for like 15 or 20 years. I would find a new hobby every single year, and I would learn something as well as I could for the entire year. And then I would stop it and start something completely different. So each year I would start a new hobby just because I wanted to be the jack of all trades. 1 year, so I would do tap dancing, and then next year I'd pick up a harmonica, take lessons, and the entire year I would play the harmonica because I just wanted to be good at a lot of different things instead of just focusing on one thing my entire life. And so after I'd done musical instruments, sports, and all kinds of different things, while I was practicing law, which, by the way, law was one of the hobbies, the things I decided to start 1 year, and that took more than 1 year. While I was practicing, I decided that this year – I was going to focus on getting tickets to the Oprah Winfrey show. And that was going to be my thing for that year. So the entire year, I would dial that number every single day because I just wanted tickets because it was that thing that you couldn't get. And so you wanted it even more. And I wanted to do it before she retired. And so every day I would call and never got through. And I don't know if you guys have ever tried to get tickets to the show, but it's nearly impossible. And finally, I did this for years, like going on 5 years of trying to get tickets. And I had stopped everything else because that I couldn't get it. So I was going to make it happen. I had always been able to just accomplish whatever hobby I started. But this one particular goal was eluding me. And so somebody finally answered after 5 years of just trying every day. And they said, I was so excited. And they said, I'm so sorry, Jill, but we're full for the rest of the season. And I was like, okay, that's it. There's got to be another way. I'm not going to let this go because I made this my goal and I'm not going to let this go. So I'll never forget. I was sitting in my office helping people get divorced, which was really exciting. And I went to the Oprah Winfrey site and I thought, you know what? There's got to be a better way to do this. And there's got to be some kind of a back door. And I'll never forget. I looked on the site and right on the front, it said, be on the show. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've been trying to get a ticket to the show. Why don't I just be on the show? And so I know you're asking, what does this have to do with Rustic Cuff? But it comes full circle. The very first thing that it said was, are you a regifter? And I thought, oh my gosh, that is me. I had an entire gift, a whole closet in my house full of gifts that I had been given that I didn't want. And then every birthday party or every party I would go to, I would just go to that closet and give it to somebody and wrap it up as if I bought it. And it was great. I saved so much money and they got great gifts. And my mom had done that when I was little. She had, you know, I could never go to the store to buy gifts for my friends. So when I was a little girl, you know, I was the only 8-year-old giving candles to my friends because they were all my mom's gifts. And so I took that on and I was the biggest regifter. Had some really funny stories just about getting caught. And so I wrote a quick email to Oprah and told her some really funny stories that had happened. And then went back to work. And 2 hours later, I had not left my desk. My phone rings and it's my assistant. She said, Maria from the Oprah show's on. And I was like, wow, that was fast. I was either a really good email writer, I told some really funny stories, or somebody's pranking me. And I thought, well, nobody, I haven't even left my office. Nobody even knows that I sent that email. And she said, Jill, this is Maria. We loved your email. We want to fly there tomorrow to film your gift closet. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's a God. He loves me. He knows this has been my goal forever. Now I get to be on the show. And so they flew there and, you know, filmed this whole gift closet. And it was funny. It was a funny piece. The next day I get a call from Maria again from the Oprah show. And she said, we loved it so much. We want to fly you and your husband out to be in the audience of the show. And I was like, wow, this is 5 years of just trying to get tickets. Now they're going to air one of my pieces on there of when they came and I get to be in the audience. So we fly up there the next day. All this happened within 48 hours. Wow. And so I really make sure world small. It makes the whole world seem small when for 5 years you've just been trying to get a ticket. And now the next thing you know, you're going to be on the show, which for me was like winning the lottery just because I had tried for so long and I just couldn't believe it was happening. It was a little surreal. So we get to the show and I'm in the front row and the producer comes up to me and she says, Jill, little change of plans. This is 5 minutes before the show started. Little change of plans, but we want you on the couch with Oprah, just the two of you. And I was like, God really does love me. This is just crazy. And she said, we want you to tell the three funny stories that you have and Oprah's going to ask you about them and it'll just be great. And I thought, this is my moment. The world gets to see that I'm really funny. So I can tell really funny stories on the Oprah show. So there's about 300 people in the audience, which I knew mentally that it was going out to about 20 million people. You know, they did your makeup. You felt great. You knew this was going to be like a shining moment because it was going to be a fun show. It wasn't going to be about, you know, I've been abused my whole life kind of show. And so I get up there. They showed the piece and Oprah laughed and everybody was laughing. It was funny. And then she looks at me and says, Jill, what do you think about what you do now that you've seen this piece? And what do you think about, you know, all the gifts that you give that you don't even buy and you just pass them off as if you bought them? And she said, well, hold on, let's ask the etiquette experts what they think. And she looks over to these two girls who were brought on the show and they were from Canada. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know I Googled what etiquette experts think last night, but I didn't Google Canadian rules. I only Googled, you know, what we do here in America. And so I looked at them and they had already told me they thought I had really cute shoes. So I thought, well, this is going to be fun. And they... on air said, we think Jill is rude and tacky and it's a disgrace and everything in that closet needs to be given to Goodwill and she needs to stop what she's doing right away. Oh, I was devastated. I know, I heard you gasp. That's what I did 1,000 days after that. I gasped. I wanted to cry. If I blinked, all the tears would come rolling out of my eyes. And I just remember sitting there thinking, I do not know. This has got to be a joke because it was all supposed to be this wonderful moment, funny and lighthearted. And so Oprah said, well, I'm shocked that you guys feel that way. And they said, they were very adamant about it, did not let up. So show ends, and I walked up to the producer and I said, you can't air this. This can't go on air to 20 million people. And she said, well, you know, Jill, it is. It's not just not really about you. And I said, no, it really is about me. That cannot air. That was so humiliating. It just was nothing like what you thought was going to happen. It wasn't the vision that I had in my mind. And so she said, I'm so sorry, but it'll be fine. So a month later, she called and said, to call all your friends. It's getting ready to air. And it aired three times that year. She said, you know, each time she'd call me, she said, that piece did so well. That episode did so well. We're going to air it again. So three times that episode aired. And it was like a knife sticking in me every single time it aired. And I remember thinking, okay, God, I have no idea what this means or why this happened. And I may not know next week or next month, but there's going to be a day that I will understand why this happened to me. So fast forward now years later, and I went home the next week, and I literally emptied out everything from all of the shelves, put everything in bags, gave it away, and then those shelves sat completely empty. Fast forward to when I started practicing, I started teaching at my law school, and I took a little break, and I remember laying in bed one night, and I thought, you know what? I am not going to let those two girls get the best of me. I've held on to this for years, and I want to do something about it. And so I had always been an avid collector of cuffs. I had worked for American Airlines, so I traveled to different places, and that was the thing that I had collected. Most people collected T-shirts and hats or whatever, and I collected just one cuff from every country or place that I would go to and had a drawer full of them. And I was sort of just obsessed with just wearing these different cuffs. And so I was laying in bed, and I was watching a show, and I saw this girl making cuffs, and I was like, there's no way it can be that easy that she can make cuffs. And if she can do it, I can do it. So I got up, I'll never forget, like 2 a.m, and I have two little girls, and my husband was sleeping, and I got up and went in the kitchen, got on the computer, and I Googled how to make a leather cuff. And for 4 straight months, I got up, I put my kids to bed, and I stayed in that kitchen, and every night I watched videos, YouTube, Googled every single thing I could find and get my hands on about how to make a cuff. And so once I finally thought that I had something figured out, I went to the leather store. I took $250 and I bought all the supplies that I thought that I needed and sat in the back of the house on my guest bedroom floor and just hammered and dyed and snapped, engraved, did everything that I could and made my first cuff, which I was so passionate about. It was the first thing in my life, besides my children, that I did not mind losing sleep for because I loved sleep and that I didn't mind working for because I didn't enjoy working because I never found anything that I was passionate about. So now I'll take a breath after telling that long part of the story.
Now I feel like I have to hear, how can you bring it full circle? How does it go back to Oprah?
So full circle. So it's the business started. It started as a hobby, and it full circle. I'll jump way ahead to a few weeks ago. I had sent some cuffs to Gail King, her best friend, and I noticed I would turn on the TV and I noticed that she was wearing them on CBS this morning. I noticed every couple days she'd wear a different one. And I moved from leather cuffs into exotic skins and metals. And I've done this for 3 years. Over the last 2 years, I've just developed it. And a few weeks ago, I got a text from somebody that said, congratulations on Oprah. And I said, what do you mean? He just said, congratulations. And I'm like, what does he mean? I wanted to act like I knew what he's talking about. And so I went to the store, and there was the Oprah magazine with one of the cuffs that I had given to Gail. And Oprah was wearing it on the cover of her magazine. Total full circle moment. And I still can't even describe the surrealness of seeing that cuff, which I'm going to pretend that it was regifted to Oprah for this. But now she is wearing it. I didn't know that was going to happen. Had no clue, no idea. And now she was wearing a rustic cuff on the cover of this last month issue. And one of the ones that I had sent to Gail, it just blew my mind. Still does. Full circle. So I look back and I said, you know, had that not happened on the Oprah show that day, had I not gotten rid of all the shelves, had I not been in that low place of like, oh my gosh, where will this ever lead me? I may not have wanted to fill the shelves back up with something that I was passionate about. And little by little, one cuff by one cuff, I started filling the shelves back up, which led me to where we are right now. And then seeing it on the cover of Oprah, which you can't pay for that. I mean, and yeah, so it has been a crazy ride, but coming full circle for me has been a big, big joy.
That's amazing. I love that story. And I have to say, I've looked at your cuffs in your online shop, and they are really impressive. They are so creative. I've seen cuffs before, but I've never seen ones as unique and creative as the ones that you create. So,
oh, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And I'm curious in terms of, I know early on you started out making those cuffs and just honing those skills and learning how to do it better. Are they still handmade, or have you moved on to have your designs be manufactured somewhere? What did that process and transition look like?
Well, one of the things is, you know, when I started, I had no guidance, no direction. I knew nothing about manufacturing. All I knew was what I could do in my back bedroom. But then what happens when you start selling and you go from 10 orders to 100 to 1,000, you realize you simply cannot, in order to keep the quality, you cannot keep up with that yourself. So I did it for a year. I started 3 years ago. I did it for a year by myself. And then when my husband said, you need to find a place besides the back bedroom and the entire living room and the entire kitchen that you're spreading all your stuff out, I found a spot. And then I started to hire some friends, and I taught them how to make them. And so, yeah, we still hand make them in Tulsa. And I have 22 girls on my team now, but 6 of them are in production. So we still do almost all of it here. There are some things that we simply, we sell in mass quantity sometimes, and some things, you know, we have to get certain metals made for us because we simply cannot do it all here. But I still do all the design work myself, and most of that is done in the still of the night, still in those hours when my girls are asleep. But yeah, we make them all here, most all of them here in Tulsa.
That's very impressive that they're still handmade by a team of people. I definitely did not realize that was the case. So that's awesome. You've really had some amazing growth with your company since you started just 3 years ago. Can you talk us through some of the strategies that you've used to grow your business?
Sure. Well, you know, one of the things I think that I never intended it for it to be a business. I just was so passionate about it as a hobby that, you know, when you take something from a hobby to a business, a lot of times it loses the joy and excitement because you get into so much of, you start growing and you have to get into the business side of it instead of the hobby side of it and the fun side of it. And I didn't want to lose that, but in order to grow, it evolves. But one of the things I decided when I started is that I was not going to spend any money for advertising. I wanted to do my own sort of grassroots or guerrilla marketing. And I, in the very beginning, within, you know, the first 6 months of starting, had this idea that I would pick 15 to 20 people in the media, or people that I would watch in the middle of the night, you know, when I DVR shows, people that I respected and liked, that I wanted to gift them rustic cuffs and have them wear it and sort of let that advertise for me. And so I picked these 20 people. I had this big whiteboard in my back bedroom, and I would just write their names on it. And then I just studied and found things that they liked and their children's names and just different things that I thought that they would appreciate. And I wanted just to make the quality excellent and the packaging excellent that it would make such an impact. And I knew if I just sent one, it wouldn't make an impact. So I made, you know, 6 to 8 cuffs for each of these 20 people that were personalized. Some of them were personalized. Some were just ones that I thought they would want to wear. And I did it all at once. I had a gentleman that I found on Etsy who made amazing boxes, these wooden boxes, and had him put rustic cuff on it to make me look bigger than I actually was sitting on the back bedroom floor. And I sent them all out at once, these 20 boxes, and I researched and you know, started sending out emails to find out addresses and who I could send things to, and sent them all out at once. And then decided to sit back and see what would happen from that, because that didn't cost me anything except my time and the materials to make it. And I'll never forget the first time that I saw somebody wear one. I was getting ready to take my 2 daughters to go see Barry Manilow, because every little girl wants to see Barry Manilow in concert. And he was my favorite, and he was coming to Tulsa, and I was like, this is perfect. I'll get him, instead of Justin Bieber, let's start with Barry Manilow. And I called him in the room, and I said, girls, you've got to come see Barry, because this is who we're going to see in a couple weeks. And Kathy Lee Gifford was interviewing him on the Today Show with Hoda, and he sang, and she put her arm on his shoulder and said, Barry, thank you so much for being here. And I looked at her wrist, and touching him was a rustic cuff So it was like he was wearing a rustic cuff too because it was touching his shoulder. And I screamed because I didn't expect it. I didn't expect that 3 days before, a week before I was making her one, and 3 days before I had mailed it. And now she's wearing it on the Today Show. And that was another very weird, surreal moment of making the world so small that I could sit there with my girls and watch TV and I see something I just made on her wrist touching Barry Manilow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And then, so of all those, you know, I sent out 20 boxes and then I would just start seeing different people. You know, I'd open magazines and I'd see one, I saw Miranda Lambert wearing it. And then I started Googling it and then I'd see her wearing it the next, different one the next night at a concert and started seeing different people. And you're like, this works. I didn't have to spend money, just time and some research. And it actually works. They're on TV every day now wearing rustic cuffs. And I just it sort of blew my mind.
How early on in your business was this idea? Was this pretty soon or?
I would say within the first 4 months, it all just sort of came together. I thought, you know what, if I'm going to do this and I'm going to turn it from a hobby to a business because some people, you know, people wanted to wear it. And then when people were wearing it, they wanted to buy another one. So it sort of validated it for me that people actually liked cuffs. And I had this, I just thought, you know what, I can either just have my friends wear it and keep it local, or I can see if I can make it bigger. And, you know, if you have somebody wearing it that people respect and like, it actually adds some credibility to what you're doing because it's just human nature that if Gayle King is wearing something or somebody that people respect in the media, then other people want that. Well, she's wearing it. It must be good. I need to have one. And then I just wanted to make it affordable so it wasn't something that, you know, most people, you think, oh, I can't afford what they're wearing there. And I wanted to make it at a price range. So the combination of that, all those thoughts happened within the first 4 to 6 months.
So prior to that, where were your early sales coming from? Did you already have an online presence or were you doing a lot of in-person local sales?
I had my very first one I made for a girlfriend of mine who worked a makeup counter at a department store. And she wore one and it was just for fun. I gave it to her and she called me within a week and she said, Jill, you have to put a price on these. I know this is just something fun you do. You have to put a price because I have 20 customers and sales associates that want to buy them. And I have a list of people here that want to buy them. And I said, no, it's not going to be a job. I don't want to turn into that. I've done that. I've done the job thing. I just wanted to be fun. She said, please just put a price on it for these. And so somebody talked me into having a party. And I'd been to plenty of parties over the course of the last 15 years where everybody's guilted into buying something because you show up at this party. I didn't want to do that, but she talked me into it. And I had 100 people come. And so I sold 200 cuffs that night. So what happens is 200 people buy cuffs with their kids' names on it. And then that spread, somebody sees it. And so it's just this word of mouth effect that happened all over Tulsa and then spreading out to different parts of Oklahoma. So that was those were my early sales until it became national. And then until I got on TV one day and then it didn't stop. And then it became national and didn't stop. It kind of just spread all over the country. After just the local and I couldn't keep up with it and just the craziness of feeling like every second needs to be devoted to the mom that you're getting ready to run into at school who ordered a cuff 3 months ago, but you haven't been able to make it yet because you have 200 orders, you know, that your life changes because instead of just being this carefree mom of two who can go play tennis and who does, you know, just enjoys things, all of a sudden now you're doing what you love, but you're beholden to 200 people that you promised this to and that paid you for it. So I was asked to speak at a conference called Spark and Hustle. It was for women and women entrepreneurs. And I spoke about branding and I knew nothing about branding except what I had just told you about sending it out to these people and researching and making it the best quality product and packaging that would really capture their attention. And so I spoke on this at this women's conference. And the lady that put on the conference was Tori Johnson with Good Morning America. And the next morning she called me and she said, Jill, I love what you talked about. I love what you did. Would you consider letting me put your products on TV in 2 days? How many can you make in a day? And I was like, 1,000, maybe, in my mind. And so she said, well, let's do it. Let's try it, you know. And so 2 days later, her segment, they aired and showcased my cuffs, 4 different cuffs. And on that day, we sold 2,000. And by we, I mean me, because it was still just me. Wow. Actually, I just hired my first employee who started 9 days before that. I said, I don't know if I can afford you. I don't know where I'm going or what. I just know that I cannot handle this by myself. And 9 days later is when we sold 2,000 on air. And then it really did not stop after that.
Once your business really took off like that, how did you scale things? I know you hired that one person. How did you, I guess, go from just paddling and like barely staying above water to having a big team and being able to manage everything?
Well, I use this analogy first, and my husband always tells me never to use analogies, but I do because I try not to listen to everything he says, even though he has amazing advice. I still use this analogy, but sometimes I tell him that it feels like I was minding my own business, doing my own thing, and I felt like I was Noah, and God came and handed me a hammer and said, here's the deal. I know you don't like animals, and I know you don't even like to build, but you're going to build this ark, and I'm not going to show you the whole thing, the whole blueprint, because if I did, you'd run. I'm only going to show you what you need to know for today. I'm going to give you this plank and show you where to put this plank. I'm not even going to show you where you need to be next week, just for today. So had I known what 3 years ago, what it was going to be like today, I probably would have run because it's so overwhelming. And so I really only learned what I needed to know for that period of time. I didn't know anything about manufacturing, how to find a good manufacturer, how to find great employees. I knew nothing about running a business. I didn't even like the word entrepreneur. I ran from it because it meant hard work, and I'd never found anything I was passionate about. So little by little, every day I would get online and just research the topic that I needed to know for that particular thing that I was going through. So it's not like there is this blueprint that says, okay, here's how you take a business from A to Z. And I'm involved now with a group called Thrive 15. And if I would have had something like that back then, it's a website that has just some really, really skilled entrepreneurs that have been there. They give 15-minute practical business courses that are taught on there from marketing to branding, you name it. And it's so valuable, and it's just done in 15-minute segments that if I would have had something like that and learned from these mentors who had been there, it would have saved me so much time. But instead, I mean, I was literally me, blood, sweat, and tears having to go through, which is, it's you really, really learn that way, but you can save yourself a lot of time by getting with somebody and learning. There's so many different facets of growing a business from nothing or from your bedroom floor to now having 22 employees and being all over the world. There's not a book that just, is a formula that tells you exactly how to do it, but to Thrive 15 is so many different people that speak into so many different subjects. So I wish I would have had that back then, but I just learned each day. I got each plank each day for what I needed to know. Otherwise, it would have been too overwhelming.
Bethann, that reminds me of, was it Pat Flynn who was talking about just-in-time learning?
Yeah.
Or you mentioned it, where you just learn what you have to learn for that moment.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't worry about the next step.
Yeah, and every day I would set these goals. I would set, at the beginning of the year, I would set this annual goal of what I wanted to do, and not just always financial, but, where I wanted to be or and how many stores I wanted to be in or how many, how big I wanted to grow it that year. And then each day I would just keep putting one foot in front of the other. I mean, it is literally like running a marathon, and you cannot think about the entire thing all at once or you'll stop. You'll go back home and get back on the couch and start watching TV because it's overwhelming. So you just think about it one step at a time. And even now, I mean, I have learned so much, but there's so much that I don't know that I don't know. It's almost better sometimes to not know how much you don't know. And because when you realize how much you don't know, my mouth just drops open and I think, oh my goodness, how in the world am I here when there's still so much I don't know? It's humbling, very humbling.
We've had some discussion with some of our listeners lately about some questions about inventory and buying in bulk. And I know sometimes for new businesses, it's tricky offering new products and buying new inventory and expanding your line because you can go too far sometimes and misread what the customer wants, and then you're left with a bunch of extra. Do you have any advice for that part of the scaling process about getting bigger but at the correct rate and not overbuying?
Yeah, that is a very tricky thing because each industry is different, and I've gone both ways. I've made a product and gotten certain things in bulk and realized, wow, that did not do how I thought it was going to do. It wasn't received in the way that I just because I'm in love with it doesn't mean the rest of the world will be in love with it, or doesn't mean that I executed the design on that properly. And the best way, I mean, obviously I've learned by my mistakes, but it's really a tweaking process. If anybody says they have the perfect formula for, okay, I need 5,000 flip-flops this time of this particular one, and then 2,000, there's just no way to know because each market is different. But I've done it where I've been left over with thousands of pieces that just didn't work, but I've also been thousands short when the demand was so high that I had no idea it was going to be such a popular product. But it really is just a matter of each time tweaking it and documenting, you know, what works and what doesn't work. But initially, I would say it's better to have the demand for it and understand that. I mean, even if you have to leave a little bit of money on the table, than to overspend and be left with too much product on the table initially. And then you can, I mean, you know, after some time passes and you get enough history, you realize there's a pattern on certain pieces and certain products. You know, there's that, just that sweet spot on what to buy. But for every industry, it's different. And I think there's really, you know, talking to other people who have been where you are in that particular industry helps, but there's really no way of knowing other than just your own experience. And I would always in the beginning err a little bit on the cautious side until you get a better feel for it.
That's good to hear from someone who's been there and done that, you know, that you would say to err on the conservative side and not overbuy. And like you said, then you can, you know, go back later and get more.
I'd rather be left with people wanting a particular product and having it in demand. I mean, you get, you know, hundreds of phone calls. I really wanted that. I can't believe you're sold out. I really wanted that. Because what happens is the next time that you put out a product similar or something that people like, they remember that this piece sold out. And so you have a lot more people who come back sooner because they saw that it was in such high demand.
That's really true. So I know now you offer just so many different products. You have so many different cuff designs. They all look amazing. But what was that process like? How did you go from, and I guess I'm not sure exactly how many cuff designs you started with, but clearly you've expanded to have so many different designs. How did you go about increasing your inventory in that way?
Well, I started off just doing leather, and I learned everything I could, and, you know, I did distressed leather, I did skinny leather, and wide leather, and then engraved leather, and metal plates to add to leather, and everything that I could, and I wanted to expand into something. Once people had some leather cuffs, they wanted different style cuffs, and so I started getting into exotic skins, stingray, and python, and just, I was sort of, got obsessed with all of these different skins and applying them to really, real quality cuffs that were now branded with Rustic Cuff. And then as that happened, I realized the high that I would get off of creating something brand new, and the high that I felt like customers kept wanting to come back for something new and different to add to their collections. And so it really was, I credit it to actually just never sleeping. I don't know if I've slept in 3 years because every night I lay in bed or I sit up in bed or I sit at my computer and I start just dreaming up and creating these designs that I think that people would love, and I get so excited just about the whole creative process that sometimes I don't know where to stop. So every now and then I think, okay, we have enough for this season. Jill, hold off and make that for next, because I just want to put it all out. It's sometimes my brain does not stop, and I know, you know, that's the case with a lot of entrepreneurs. It's not a, you know, 5 day week, 9 to 5 thing. It's more than 24/7. Your brain just does not stop. It's the second you wake up till the second you go to sleep. I don't stop thinking about the designing of cuffs and how I want to put them all together and what new things. And so it's a little bit of a sickness, I think. It really is. I need to sleep. At some point, I need to go back to sleep. Not yet, though.
For someone who would have initially resisted being an entrepreneur, you seem to have it nailed down pat now.
Wow. I seriously love to sleep. I missed so many early classes in college because all I wanted to do was sleep. You know, I was the mom that the kids would come in and say, can we have breakfast? It's noon, Mom. Can we get some breakfast at some point? I just really like to sleep. So I know that I know that this has taken a hold of me in a way that there's just no explaining it. I still don't love that word entrepreneur, because for me it was always just had this, you know, this connotation of just really, really hard times and these trials and having to figure it all out yourself. And I always like to depend on other people. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. So to have figured it all out, it is definitely bigger than me. But having a team of people, I mean, there's no way. Once it got past that first year, I would have been doomed had I continued to do it by myself.
So, Jill, now your cups are in over 250 stores. I noticed that there seems to be a focus on boutique-type shops that your cups are in.
Right.
Was that a conscious decision to focus on those type of stores rather than larger chains?
Well, we are actually in Dillard's and on Nordstrom.com. But no, I never had an intent to go into boutique stores. Most all of them are the result of them contacting us after seeing us online or seeing us on TV and saying, we would like to put Rustic Cuff in our store. So for the most part, all of those stores have contacted us and said, can we, you know, how can we get you in the store? So it's never been a matter of going out and, you know, sending people out across the country saying, you know, we'd like to be in your stores. It had just organically happened the other way around. Which is, you know, each one is like a customer. So it's just, that was never the plan. It organically happened like that.
That's great, though. Then you don't have to do all the work of finding boutiques to contact.
Yeah, that has been a really, really nice thing. It feels like most of the things that have happened, I say organically happened, but it's also been the foundation of just a lot of upfront work and being ready for things like that when stores call. And it's been really fun. Nordstrom has been one of my very favorite stores for years. So to be partnered up with them has been a really fun thing. But yeah, you know, but getting into wholesale and having, you know, here different retail presences, it's still, you know, that creates completely new areas for me that I have very little experience in. So it's finding the right people to fill those shoes within Rustic Cuff now, knowing my weaknesses, knowing what I do best to focus on that, and then finding the right people to fill the shoes so it can all work together.
If you had to guess, how many cuffs do you think you've sold since you
started? If I had to guess, I would say a couple hundred thousand at least.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is crazy. I'm just guessing, but probably over the course of the last 3 years, probably a couple hundred thousand. Yeah. Which that sounds like I'm listening to somebody else say that, because there's no way. That sounds like somebody who's building an ark, and I do not build, nor do I like animals. So that is not me. It's like I'm telling you this story about somebody else. But I love it. I really, really do love it. But it feels like I'm telling, you know, like my sister's story or somebody that I just, and I don't have a sister, but I'm just saying, like I'm telling, you know, like I'm reading a book or something.
Well, one day at a time, you made it happen, which is so cool. And I love, too, that honestly, you created a great product and then you got it out there to people and you knew they'd love it. And, you know, here you are. So
thank you. One of the things that I wanted to do is everything that I do, I think, how would I want to be the receiver of this gift? When you open gifts, it's really so much for me. It's the quality of the product, but it's also about the experience of opening this package. So instead of sending it out in a cheap bag or a cheap paper box, something that you can get for 20 cents, I want to invest the money on the front end to put this into a box so when the daughter gives it to her mom for Mother's Day, it is an experience for her that she not only remembers the cuff inside, but remembers the experience of opening the box. And how that felt, and then something that she wants to keep. Because I remember growing up, you know, the Tiffany's box for me was like, oh my gosh, I don't care what is in it. It could be soap. My mother-in-law gave me soap, and I loved it just because it was the Tiffany's box. And I wanted to create that same thing for every customer and everybody that was part of our little family here at Rustic Cuff. I wanted to have the same thing, and I knew it was going to cost me more money in the beginning. But I always, the best piece of advice I could give for anybody starting off is have an amazing business card. Everything that you do, even if you have to buy less business cards or you do it better than anybody else and have it the quality that makes you look bigger than you are and not just in your bedroom. Make it the quality so it feels like it's a, you know, a Chanel, a something that you put so much effort and time into, because that is going to be representative for, in their minds, of everything else that you do.
Clearly that philosophy is really serving you well with your business.
Thank you.
It's amazing. Are you still using like the wooden box to ship them in, or
I am not. We've moved on from the wooden box, although we still have a few of them around here, and we've moved on to some packaging that I really, really love, and we change it up every season, and we keep it sort of the same type of boxes, but I change it up just a little bit. So for those people that buy, and we have people that have bought 400 cuffs, and I want them to not just have the same exact box every single time. I like it to have a little variety, but we have all kinds of different packaging now. I have Lucite boxes, where like keepsake boxes that are, people can keep 20 cuffs in it, and all kinds of different ways that you can store your cuffs. And so I just keep creating things, because the same customers keep coming back, and they don't stop. They keep buying more and more every time we put something out. So I want to create for them, because I've seen their drawers sometimes and I think, oh my gosh, those are just spread out all over the place. I want to create things to make you feel like something to hold your cuffs that is rustic cuffs. So that's fun for me to create that. Oh yeah, I do want to say on Thrive 15 that a lot of times I get emails or calls from people and they say, I'm starting a business. I would love to come and pick your brain. And which is also very humbling to hear, because I feel like I just started, but they want to know how to go from startup to selling all over the country and just getting it out there. And they want to know this. And it's hard, because time is such a tricky thing now. And I know it is for a lot of entrepreneurs, because it's your most valuable thing that you have so little of. But Thrive 15, for a month, if you go to Thrive 15, Thrive and then the number 15.com, and you put in the code Rustic for a month, you can listen for free to all of the mentors on there, and you can pick and choose the topics that apply to you or your industry. And it is an amazing tool. And I love it. And I've heard some really great feedback about people who are just starting or people who are actually in it. And you get to listen for free to the advice of people who have been there, who are still there, and who have walked the path that you want to walk. It's just a great tool to be able to pick and choose in 15-minute segments advice from somebody who has been there.
That sounds like a great offer. So the code is Rustic?
The code is Rustic, yeah, and it's good for a whole month to be able to listen to any of the mentors that are on there.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
As we wrap up, Jill, we've learned a lot from you, and we always like to close with a fun or adorable mom moment that you might have had recently with your girl.
Okay. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. And a few weeks ago, they both came to me because we create the environment up here where the moms can go pick up their kids from school, and you know, they can come, all the kids can come up here, and the moms can keep working in the afternoon if they want. So it's sort of like this big family, a lot of RC kids up here in the afternoon, with kids' room and TVs in every room. And so my kids came to me, both my girls, a few weeks ago, and said, and let me know that they think that they have learned everything from school they need to know. They're ready to stop school and start and continue the business with me. They do not need to know math, social studies, and they are ready to help run Rustic Cuff. So I said, let me get with your daddy on that, and we'll get back to you in about 15 years. That is my mom moment of the month.
That's too funny. Yeah. Well, clearly they're seeing everything you're doing and I'm sure look up to you a ton. So that's really fun.
Yeah. And everybody asks the question, how do you balance it all? I mean, everybody always asks moms, how in the world do you balance all that? And you know what I say now? You can't balance it all. There's no way. I just have merged the two worlds. I just bring my kids into this world so they don't feel alienated from it. Like, mommy's got to leave. Mommy's going up there. You just bring them into, and we're able to up in this Rustic Cuff world up there. I know it doesn't work for everybody, but I just decided to just merge it and make it all one big happy family. And you know, most of the time it works. Sometimes when you have cranky kids, it doesn't, but you know, it's just somehow we have figured out a way to make it work for what we do.
That is a great idea, to create that work environment. It sounds like it is so mom friendly, the environment that you've created, and I'm sure you get quality employees that way. They don't want to leave such a great work situation, and they want to give you their best.
Yeah, I found that, you know, when I worked in corporate America for 11 years, you know, and you get, you know, your 10 days vacation and every single second is documented and you feel guilty for leaving and going to your kid's soccer game or whatever it is you feel guilty about. I decided, even though I didn't like the word entrepreneur, if I ever did anything on my own, I wanted to give my employees the freedom that I felt like I never had or couldn't have in corporate America. So I made this rule that when mom started working for me, that your family, it's not cliche, not your family comes first, they really do come first. So these, I tell my moms, you can drop your kids off at school. When it's time for that you to pick them up at school, you can go get them. You don't have to come back. You can take your kids. You, when you give, and you can go to every single, you know, I've never said no to any mom who wants to go to any school function, no matter what. I find that when you give the moms this freedom to really feel like it, their family comes first, they don't treat this like a job. They treat it like it's summer camp, like it's this fun thing. And then they give you back this loyalty that you didn't even have to ask for. It's just this return on your investment of giving to them what I always wanted when I was, you know, my 11 years in corporate America. And probably the biggest blessing that I've gotten out of the entire Rustic Cup is having these girls work for me, that I get to walk in the office every day. And I really don't want to leave. It's like this black hole. You come in and it's like you're in, you know, like you're in college. You just want to stay on your dorm floor and hang out with your girlfriends. And when you give that to them, they in turn want to give this loyalty back to you because they love what they get to do. So that for me probably has been the best thing that has come out of the entire Rustic Cuff organization.
I love that. I think if I'm ever in Tulsa, I'm going to apply to come work at Rustic Cuff.
Yes, I will take you right now simply because I like you in our 50-minute conversation here. I will hire you on the spot. The best piece of advice somebody ever told me for employees is hire people that you really like, that it doesn't necessarily matter that they're trained the best, but that you really like, and hire before you need somebody. Because if you find somebody that you like, then if you're growing, you will inevitably need them. As opposed to doing it the other way around, when you get desperate for a job, you hire desperately and then you find yourself in trouble 6 months down the road. So I literally will meet somebody or find one of my friends that I think I just would love to be around them all day. I hire them not knowing exactly the job that I want, but because we're growing, something always just come, you know, you find out what is their best seat on the bus. And when they fit in that seat on the bus, and then this one's over here in this seat, you find all the right people in the right seats on the bus. It just seems to go in the right place without you even having to know exactly where it's going. So I hire before I need, when I just meet somebody that I really just fall in love with. So I fell in love with you today, and I will take you. I'll take both of you.
We're coming right there.
Okay, come on.
We're on the next plane.
Okay.
Well, Jill, could you let everybody know where they can find you one last time?
Sure. You can find all of our cuffs at rusticcuff.com. Probably the best way to keep up on a daily basis is on Facebook, Rustic Cuff, and then on Instagram at Rustic Cuff. And that is all. I still am the only one that does all the social media, because for me, that is the most fun part of just infusing sort of my love and my personality into that. And that's just the best way to follow just the daily happenings of everything that goes on around here. I just want people to feel like they're part of the family, not just this big company that has no face. I want them to feel really connected, because when you get people connected to it, they're, you know, they want to be a part of it. So Facebook, Instagram, and then rusticcuff.com to buy and look at them.
Great. Thank you so much, Jill. This has been so much fun, and we're just so impressed with how you've grown. And to be honest, I love your take it a day at a time mentality. I think that's awesome.
Oh, thank you, guys. I have enjoyed doing this, and I am holding two offices for you when you are ready to come here.
For the show notes, head to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/89. And to take advantage of the Thrive 15 offer Jill mentioned, remember to use the code RUSTIC. I hope you're having a great day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant. And maybe start building that arc, one board at a time.